There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Carl Flagers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 683, June 25th, 2015. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards from the hills of Austria to the hills of Ardennes Forest. And since the doors of success are not opening for Honda and McLaren, they are listening to Jimmy Morrison. We shall explain.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Kimmy. Horner out, Berger in. And how long will McLaren wait? Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. And we have 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. How are things in Cali?
Very warm and dry.
Still no rain?
Still no rain in sight, Nasser. It's starting to turn into a disaster.
I guess they're redoing the song about never rains in Southern California. It will be just, it never rains in California.
Exactly, and don't worry. I think Jean Todt and the FIA are working on it right now.
Oh, yes. They'll come up with a hybrid water system.
Thank you.
So what's happening in your world, in the world of beautiful world of motor racing, sir?
Well, we have the Austrian Grand Prix, which was exciting if you love Mercedes.
I hope you're not disappointing all the family members of F1 Weekly and myself in particular. Tell me that you are going to the event this coming weekend at Laguna at Sears Point.
No, I'm not going to that event.
What event is that? Do you know?
Nope.
It's Le NASCAR.
Le chewing tobacco.
Yes, sir. Skull Bandit.
Yes, Skull Bandit. And you get free samples if you want to go.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes. No, I'm not going. Do you know how hot it's going to be in Sonoma next weekend? Yeah.
I've been to Sonoma many times, but see, when you are at a racetrack, hot weather is not a problem unless it has a lot of humidity.
That's true, but nevertheless, I'm going to be staying home drinking my Gatorade Lemon Lime.
Whatever happened to the Lemon Karthikeyan, Lemon Cucumber?
They were out of stock.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
He must have won a race somewhere.
Well, I think all the homies are buying it.
Yeah. And who can blame them?
Exactly. So it is what it is. But no, everything is wonderful. Kimi Raikkonen is crashing. Poor Fernando is not finishing. And he's not winning.
Yes. Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Without Fernando winning, I am not a happy man.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I hate to see you unhappy for 3 years now.
Yes, it's going to be a long and winding road.
Yeah, and I would like to see how long it will take before fingers are pointed.
I agree. So I might become a Pastor Maldonado fan.
Yeah, of course. He'll always be in the news.
I like him. You know, he's not good looking, and he's always fighting for something.
Yes. Well, he's a machismo from Venezuela. He has to fight for his right.
I understand. So, but no, I enjoyed myself. The Austrian Grand Prix was exciting.
But the interesting thing is, you know, the spin starts in Spielberg. When LCH spun, immediately there was talk on the telly of payback for Monaco 2014. And the next thing you know, they're showing a picture of another car stranded in the kitty litter. And it was none other than Nico Rosberg. So that was kind of bizarre. And it really, you know, what is going on here? Both cars spinning off on the... it's not like it was raining very heavily or anything like that. What did Mr. Rogers make of it?
I thought it was actually totally weird, especially at the end of qualifying. It was weird. I'm not sure. For both drivers, to spin. Well, one spun, the other went straight. Not sure what's going on there. Didn't matter. Lewis Hamilton still got pole position. Very intriguing. I was hoping for some heavy rain. We got nothing. We got a bit of a wet track, but that's nothing.
And you know, again, just like Canada, there was a lot of talk about Sebastian Vettel, and he continues to prove he is the top jockey for the Prancing Horse, and most likely to achieve Signor Arriva Bene's aspiration of 2 wins for Ferrari this year. You know, for this second victory, they may need some help from Mercedes' pit strategy blunder, or LCH and Nico engaging in a self-destructing tango, which, you know, it may still happen, not intentionally, but can happen.
It can happen, but once again, Vettel is the top dog. He's replaced Fernando, who was the top dog, and Kimi is still Rubinho.
Yeah, I think he will be, you know, he lives in Switzerland, and I'm sure Western Union has services there also. One of these days, his beautiful girlfriend, Miss Mintu, is going to tell him, oh, there's a message from Western Union for you from Italy, and you know what it's going to say?
You're fired.
Yes, or something like, or the famous corporate American line, your services are no longer required.
Exactly. But it should happen soon, because they need to get a young guy in there, and let's start making some headway and get some points towards the championship.
You know, it's interesting you say it should happen soon. You mean, of course, before the season is over. I was thinking the same thing the other day, that, you know, if they let him go with 5 races to go and bring in a whippersnapper like a Romain Grosjean or whoever they are trying to get, and see what can be done.
Yes, we wish this almost every year. It never happens. They're a very conservative company, and it is what it is, but they're missing out. Once again, anybody, I think, who is hungry to prove themselves in Formula One would do better than Kimi Raikkonen. There is no way. Kimi Raikkonen no longer has hunger pains.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened to him after he won that, in a very impressive style, the 2007 World Championship. He won a lot of races in the last 6-8 rounds. But, I mean, after that, I mean, I've never seen with him, ever since he's been with Ferrari, the Kimi Raikkonen of McLaren days, which I really, really liked and missed very much.
This is what happens, Nasser, when you drive in the Camping Truck Series.
No, I think, you know, his goal was to win a championship. He got that, and just, you know, I mean, he doesn't like a lot of stuff that goes, I mean, he has himself said, apart from racing, anything and everything else in Formula One is bullshit. And, you know, man has the right to his opinion, but, you know, if you're being paid $25 million, you will be asked to do a few things for the person writing the check.
Absolutely. My question is, when do we see Raikkonen in Formula E?
No, I think he's going to go out and do what he did last time, a few races here. Just enjoy his life, which, you know, it's fine. But I think he's taking up a very plum seat, which should really go to somebody like Nico Hülkenberg or a Romain Grosjean. And, you know, the sad part is Ferrari has a couple of proteges of Italian and Italian heritage. And they are not really putting the world on fire, and Rafael Marcello is case in point, but we'll talk about that later in the program.
I understand. Motorsports Mondiale. I don't know. You know, we talk about Ferrari every year. That second seat is always a little bit strange. But, hey, you want me to text Fisichella for you?
No, that really goes to show, be careful what you wish for. It just might happen.
Exactly. But let's talk about qualifying. It was somewhat interesting, if you like these sort of things.
I mean, you were shocked with Mercedes locking up the front row again.
I was stunned, but I was also stunned to see Kimi Raikkonen out in Q1.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, let's not even talk about the race.
Yeah.
What is, I mean, you cannot blame the team every time.
Well, you heard what he had to say. He had a question when they told him that he was out. So it's always happening with him, not Sebastian Vettel.
And machismo. I'm thinking to start calling Vettel Vettelita.
Vettelita, wow.
You know, something. Make it exciting. You know what I'm talking about? So, yeah. And the other thing, Sergio Perez out in Q1, I was sort of surprised there because, you know, Hülkenberg, he qualified 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on there? Too much burrito?
Yeah, you know, 5th on the grid for Hülkenberg was the best qualifying result for his team this year. Like I said, I want to see this guy with the the top team. And both him and Romain Grosjean really deserve a crack at a good team. And, you know, this thing about Sergio Perez, remember when he was with Sauber, how much he was in demand and almost won a race over Nando in Malaysia. And at one time there was talk of him joining Ferrari. And then now it's just, I mean, he's still doing a pretty gutsy and feisty job, as you know, vis-a-vis Hülkenberg. But I don't think Ferrari will ever be calling him or any other top team after leaving McLaren after one season only.
That one season with McLaren was his, that was his peak. I mean, it's done.
You know, when I ran into Joe Ramirez at Jerez last year in January, he was kind of disappointed. He says, you know, when you get an opportunity like that, you have to do what the team is telling you. Take care of your fitness, take care of this, take care of that. And he said, not only because of yourself, but you're also representing a country and a whole nation. I don't know what happened there, really, but to be dropped by a top team after one season pretty much says a lot about whether you will get a call from another top team.
Exactly. But Haas F1 next year might call them. You never know.
Haas, I think this team is on the right path. I mean, they have people who know what they're doing, motor racing experience and all that. And I mean, the good thing is, you know, he has not appointed his team. He's a co-owner with Tony Stewart in NASCAR. So, I mean, he has not done stupid things like appointing Tony Stewart as the chief designer of the car.
He's designing the machine with the rollers, so the hot dogs are always hot.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You see those in 7-Eleven sometimes. You see that they're rolling. So yes. Tony Stewart's in charge of that, and it's going to be to F1 standards.
Yeah, what about, what did you make of Mr. Young Verstappen, Max Verstappen?
Obviously, you know, qualifying seventh. Red Bull, Danny Kvyat did good. The thing is, Daniel Ricciardo was suffering like an old woman.
You know, the thing about Max Verstappen, despite his young age, he's feeling quite at home in Formula One. And even when he was verbally ambushed by Massa at one of the press conferences that, you know, about the Monaco crash. And actually, this was during the press conference before the Canadian Grand Prix. Max said, you know, maybe we should look at how Massa crashed last year. So he's a tit-for-tat kind of kid. But I got to tell you, I mean, this guy is feeling at home in Formula One, just like Daniel Kvyat was all last year. So I see a good future for both of them. And also Carlito Sainz, he was knocked out in Q2 and started 12th. I think he's done a very, very impressive job.
Yes, both of them. Toro Rosso has done a superb job in picking outstanding drivers this season. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. Carlos Sainz Jr. could only get to 13th. Daniel Ricciardo behind him in P14. Pretty stunning. Now, let's also talk about McLaren. Both drivers had a 25 grid penalty.
Yeah, what a joke that was.
Well, my biggest problem is, how does that work when you only have 22 cars on the field?
I mean, this whole thing, that they have really... The good thing is, you know, so much noise has been made about Formula One sound, the whole package, the way it's being run, that hopefully there will be some decent changes when they come in effect in 2017.
I hope so. We'll see what happens. Of course, at the Austrian Grand Prix, we know that the owner of Red Bull was all over Renault, crying and whimpering. We talked about it in the last podcast. And a lot of people are talking about, why would Renault even make an extra effort for this guy anymore?
Well, you know, one of his quotes was pretty impressive, saying that Renault has destroyed Formula One for us. To me, this is like going beyond the point of no return.
It is.
Yeah, but you know, then, you know, he was quoted as being, he may leave Formula One and that means four cars out. But the Lord Almighty of motorsports, Bernard Ecclestone, has come out with his divine assurance that Red Bull will not leave Formula One. And Bernie is like the lady from the song Lola. He gets what he wants. So I think we're going to see Toro Rosso and Red Bull at least till their contracted time, which is 2020.
I agree. I know they're going to stick around. And, of course, Ferrari stepping up to the plate and saying, sure, we'll be glad to supply more engines to some of our competitors like Toro Rosso and Red Bull. I thought that was interesting because Ferrari knows you never win a world championship as a B team to Ferrari.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you put a young whippersnapper like a Sebastian Vettel or a Lewis Hamilton of 2007, they can rattle some cages.
Well, there's no doubt. I still think Renault should come in as a manufacturer with their own team and blow everybody out of the water with their former machismo-ness.
Yeah, I would love to see that, and I would like to see those cars yellow and white with big black lettering Renault. And I want to see that FACOM sticker also, which is very, very important to me.
It's machismo.
It is.
It is. I agree. Totally. But in the end, it was Lewis Hamilton on pole, Nico Rosberg P2, Sebastian Vettel in third, Felipe Massa on the second row. Well done. Nico Hülkenberg fifth, sixth, Valtteri Bottas, Mr. El Señor Verstappen in seventh, Daniel Kvyat in eighth, Felipe Nasr in ninth, and Romain Grosjean pips Pastor Maldonado and gets into Q3 in P10. So there you have it. Of course, Pastor Maldonado is also criticizing your boy Verstappen.
Yeah. And, you know, his opinion is very important. But he knows a thing or two about crashing. But, you know, I have an idea, Clark. I mean, we would hate to see Kimi Raikkonen totally disappear from the F1 scene in the paddock. I think what McLaren should do is offer him a job next year as their PR person, because not much to say every race weekend.
That's really mean, Nasser.
I'm trying to take care of the guy.
I understand, but poor Kimi, suffering every day. No, you know, I think he'll have his own WRC team and do some WRC activities here and there and just be a goofball.
Yeah, he pretty much ends any answer these days with, it is what it is, we will see.
It is what it is. I say that too much too now. There you have it. Any last final thoughts on qualifying, Nasser?
Well, yes, last year they initiated this pole position trophy by Nico Rosberg. Right now, LCH leads 7-1 over last year's champion. And also the trap speed during the qualifying, how fast can you go? Here is the answer from qualifying: speed trap for each team, in the faster car of each team. So fastest, not surprisingly, was LCH, clocked at 202.2 miles per hour. Slowest was Will Stevens with Maynard at 193.7 miles per hour. Three other teams were clocked below 200 miles per hour. They were Toro Rosso, not surprisingly, McLaren, and surprisingly, Red Bull. Both Force India with Sergio Perez and Lotus with Captain Crashado at the wheel were faster than Ferrari and Williams through speed trap. Very interesting.
Ferrari still has a lot of work to do. I'm hoping that they find some speed before they get to Silverstone, because that's a fast track and we want to see more machismos.
Yeah, you know, if they can catch up to Mercedes, which I think is going to be very hard, but if they can be very competitive and start, you know, winning races or second, basically split the Mercedes boys, that would come for a great, great season, you know.
I understand, but even Mercedes says they were disappointed with Ferrari in Austria. I mean, when Mercedes says they're disappointed with Ferrari, they're lackluster. And Arriva Bene said he's pissed off at Ferrari for pretending to be fast on Fridays and looking sloppy on Saturdays. So he told them, I want full fuel tanks on Friday. I want to see real pace. No more phony baloney.
Yeah, but I think that's a good idea.
I think it was a good idea, because all you do is disappoint everybody.
It's like taking pole position with three laps of fuel, you know. I mean, what the hell?
Right. Like they used to back in the day?
Yeah, it's been done before.
Wow, I sort of miss those days, Nasser.
Me too, Clark. But they're coming back in 2017, I think.
You believe that?
I always believe it when I see it.
I understand. Me too. But it is what it is. So there you have it. Pole position. And of course, when Lewis Hamilton has pole, we usually assume that he's going to win the Grand Prix, don't we?
Yeah, but I think this is first in a long time that he had pole and he finished the race behind his teammate, I think.
I know. Something's happened to Nico. Yeah. Maybe he got testicle extensions.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in Monaco, they can do anything if you've got the cash.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I know what it is. He got the testicular fortitude from what Caitlyn Jenner used to be.
Yes, the decathlon.
Yeah.
Dude, yes. Yes, Mr. Jenner. Fascinating, Nasser. Fascinating. You know, I was hoping Caitlyn wouldn't enter the podcast, but
you never know.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nasser, and thank you, Kimi. No rain. What's happened?
Yeah, I want to see a race, not in heavy rain where you cannot see anything, but enough where it's slippery when wet, if you know what I mean.
I know, but the biggest problem is, see, when we say we want rain, the gods think we want Nahrain Karthikeyan.
Oh, my goodness. So that is miscommunication with the higher authority.
Exactly, and they find that so silly that they would never bring it on.
Okay, now I understand.
That's my tip of the day. So we've got to enunciate maybe perhaps better. In the end, it was a beautiful day. I like how the Austrian grid girls dress in the Austrian folkly look.
No, you know, that looks so much better than, you know, showing up the way they do in most races. I mean, you know, to get a taste of the culture of the country, I think it's very good, you know.
Oh, I understand.
I mean, if all the Grand Prix races are going to have a display of TNA, which is good for mankind too, but I think this, you know, traditional dress looks very nice, very different.
It exudes culture.
Yes.
And that certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Austria is home to Amadeus Mozart and so many other fantastic things, and not to mention the great racing drivers they have produced, so it looks very nice.
I thought it was fine, Nasser. The skirts were a little long for me.
I understand. That's what I thought, what the drivers were complaining, especially Will Stevens and, you know, the whippersnappers.
Ah, las snapatas de Wilito.
Wow.
Yes. Thank you. That's Latin for whippersnapper.
Very good.
Thank you. So let's go to the race. The lights go off. Hamilton very aggressively cuts Rosberg's racing line, but blinks. He has a little thought. And Rosberg is able to move into the lead. Hamilton chases him furiously. We got a little excitement at the beginning there. I thought Hamilton was going to chop, 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 chop. We'd get both of them out of the way, and we'd have a Fernando win.
Yes, I knew a couple of times they were side by side, and I thought this could be very good for a great race. But all kudos to KK's kid for a tremendous performance.
Yep, KK's kid. See, KK is right. The belt does work on the young whippersnappers when you're raising them.
And I tell you, man, this first lap contact between Kimi Raikkonen and Alonso, I hope they went to the DNF chapel Sunday evening.
I'm sure they did.
I mean, you know what, when I was watching this, when Nando's car appeared on top of his car, I mean, you could see Kimi Raikkonen's wheel still moving and the car traveled a little bit, if not a whole lot of distance. But, I mean, can you imagine if this thing has come into the cockpit?
I know, but there's also some subliminal messages we need to talk about here. Once again, Fernando is on top of Kimi.
Wow.
Exactly.
Even when they're not teammates.
Even when they're not teammates, he's always on top. In other words, he is the dominant figure.
Yeah, and that's the highest the McLaren Honda has been this year.
Exactly. Yeah, on top of Ferrari, figuratively speaking, of course.
Yes.
But this brings out a safety car, Nasser. Of course, everybody was thankful that they both walked out. There was a loving embrace, a bit of a French kiss amongst them. But in the end, we have a safety car, and Nico Rosberg is going, I'm in the front, I'm in the front, Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Doo, I'm in the front. It's interesting. Of course, Jenson Button, very heartfelt question to the team, is Fernando el Macho, is he okay? Of course he was, and I thought that was very, very loving.
Yes. Question for you, sir. You are purveyor of and aware of history. Do you think Red Bull Ring will be Raikkonen's Waterloo?
It could be Raikkonen's Waterloo. You know, the biggest problem with Ferrari and his contract, you know, when Kimi got pissed off last week about the questions, and he kept saying, you don't know my contract, you don't know my contract, you don't know my contract. I think he's got a pretty strong contract. Now, don't get me wrong. Ferrari could go ahead and pay him and have somebody else drive, and that's all fine and dandy. But on the other hand, Ferrari tends to be a lot more loyal to their former world champions.
I think as an option on his services, I'm not sure if that option, if they don't exercise, they have to pay him. But I mean, they, you know, the thing is, they need to put a guy in, like a young guy, a very deserving guy who has performed very well. I don't believe in putting in Rafael Marcello or Antonio Fuoco just because they are Paisan, but, you know, something like Romain Grosjean, Nico Hülkenberg, give these people a chance and see what they can do. Or even Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, he's locked into a contract.
No, I agree. And I think the exploration has begun, but I think Kimi will be there till the end of the season. He's a former Ferrari world champion. Yeah, there's just a certain level of conservative sophistication where you don't do gross things unless, of course, you call the Ferrari a truck. Then things change very, very quickly.
Oh, yes.
So, there you go. Lap 7, the safety car is in, the lights go green, and we can go back to racing. Rosberg retains the lead quite comfortably ahead of Hamilton by 1 minute. No, excuse me. I apologize. 1 second. And Hamilton's being very cautious at this time. Of course, Carlos Sainz and Romain Grosjean are banging tires. Seems to be a little bit of a fight. And we do have some good mid-pack fighting between the Verstappens, the Maldonados. Interesting stuff. And nobody likes each other. And Maldonado, he was doing some wild stuff in this race.
Yeah, and there was a lot of dicing going on, which was very interesting. And a couple of, the cars that were, you thought they're going to lose control. Maldonado was one of them. It was very impressive car control.
You call that very impressive car control?
Yeah, they kept going, you know.
That's true. I remember Schumacher passing Rubinho in a very bizarre way. Anyway, lap 8, Button serves his penalty. I mean, McLaren has so many penalties. I don't even know what. I think this is because we don't have 25 cars. He had an extra penalty. I have no clue, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they're already suffering so much. Why do they even bother with the administrative costs and the paperwork of the penalties?
You know, I think the McLaren Honda with this package, they cannot even win a GP2 race, and that's very sad.
It's very sad. Lap 9. Speaking of sadness, Jenson Button has retired from the Austrian Grand Prix. And a total chaotic nightmare for Eric Boullier. And you don't see it, photographs of Ron Dennis anymore in the paddock. His face has been, how you say, it's been pixelated completely out of Formula One.
You think his access is denied in the McLaren pit?
Oh my God. It's a disaster. Now the biggest problem is, you know, now they're worried they're actually having double vision, one of your favorite songs.
Yes.
And they're thinking that their season next year could be just as bad as this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And this is McLaren.
And yeah, McLaren and Honda. I mean,
the big boys. It's sad, sad, sad. But it is what it is, just like Kimi likes to say.
Yeah.
Bottas, another impressive drive for him this week.
Yeah, and you know, talking about this Honda thing, I remember when BMW came out with their turbo power with Brabham. I mean, it takes time to develop, but, you know, very quickly they were extremely fast, but blowing up all the time. I remember at one of the qualifying session, French Grand Prix, it was, they blew up 4 engines in one day. And then when your favorite Renault came with the yellow teapot in Silverstone, they got to a point where they were super, super quick. Nobody could run with them, but they would not finish a race. But with this Honda situation and McLaren, it's neither fast, neither quick, and it's not even reliable. So it's a complete disaster.
It's the trifecta of disasters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lap 12, Vettel is just 6 seconds behind the two Mercedes, which is good. He's holding on. And I like that. Bottas is doing all he can to stay ahead of Verstappen on lap 14. Verstappen, even with the Renault package, is so... He's dynamic. He's hungry. I mean, he's so hungry. I mean, he'll do anything. I mean, I bet you he could take one of those Manners and get it up to P10 if he had to.
Possibly in the rain, I think.
Possibly with Nahrain Carthagean, yes.
There you go.
Lap 19, Rosberg is still in front of Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton is trying to close the gap, but he's not able to do it. Rosberg is putting in some fantastic laps, and I am very impressed. I'm thinking KK finally taking Rosberg to the woodshed has finally paid off.
I think that KK's kid has found his mojo, and he's very excited. And I think I would love to see a a great fight to the. I mean, I don't like championship going to the last round because then it, you know, if a guy has a Kablamola, you know, he had some technical issues, so it ruins the other party as a championship, one party's championship. So I want to see a good, good, real battle, you know. And if Nico beats this guy fair and square, he is the world champion.
Absolutely. Now, I want to commend Sergio Perez because on lap 25, he's in P10, doing a pretty good job, very impressive. And our standings are Rosberg, Hamilton, Vettel, Massa, Hülkenberg, Bottas, Verstappen, Nasser, Sainz Jr., and Perez. So the top 10 looking mighty fine. So interesting race. I enjoyed it. And Rosberg, I think, really found his mojo. He realized I could kick some Hamilton butt. Or that can of whoop-ass I sent him might have worked as well. Lap 27, Sainz Jr. is now under investigation for speeding in the pit lane, Nasser.
That was sad.
Yep. It happens a lot now. Lap 33, Sainz Jr. is the latest driver to complain of mechanical failure over the radio, and it seems like he's having problems with the engine. These cars are tough now. I mean, I feel sorry for Renault and Honda. We'll see what happens next year, but this season's not going to change much, Nasser. You know, we could sit here and hope for rain and snow and sleet, but in the end, Mercedes will continue to deliver the mail.
That is correct. That is correct, for sure.
The only thing we can hope for is for a Nico uprising.
Yeah, that would be great. That would actually be mutiny at Mercedes would be very good.
It would be very good. And a rattled Lewis Hamilton is good for entertainment.
Yes, but I think Lewis last year did a pretty good job of not being rattled so much as he used to be. But I think in the long haul, I still think LCH is going to take care of business. As long as the cars are reliable. If both cars are reliable as they have been, then, you know, I still think this is LCH tercero, third championship.
So, in other words, we're sticking to the scripted F1 season for 2015, LCH, LCH, LCH.
Yeah.
I like that.
Every now and then, NR here and there.
Well, I understand.
Championship, but,
I understand. Lap 38, Lewis Hamilton is under investigation for crossing the pit lane exit.
No, that's something that's so basic that I was very, very surprised somebody like him would do that.
Yeah, me too. Lap 37, also quickly, disaster in the pits for Sebastian Vettel, the wrong wheel gun. It's amazing because Ferrari is supposed to be the machismos of the machismos, but they do fumble occasionally in the pits, where Red Bull very rarely fumble, but they have other issues. Lap 40, it's stated Lewis Hamilton has been given a 5-second penalty, but it really doesn't matter because by the end of the race, you know, he could take that 5 penalty when he does his last pit stops. By then, he'll have a 17-second lead over third place. So it's meaningless. It's just strictly for the gods.
Yeah, going back to this problem with Sebastian Vettel at Ferrari, here's a trivia question for you. Name the two words Niki Lauda says when he sees something like this.
Gottion.
No, spaghetti culture.
SpaghettiOs. But what are you trying to say?
No, it reminds me of him because he uses that quite a bit. And I'm kind of concerned about him if he ever shows up at Milan airport and he's not in his private jet. You know, some guy from Arriva Bene clan might come and have a chat with him, you know.
Lap 46, Hamilton is around 7 seconds behind Rosberg and reacted pretty angrily to the news that he will suffer a race penalty. Of course, tears will flow later on, but who cares? He's still going to get a lot of points and still be leader in the pack. At lap 48, at the back, Perez has just pinched 10th spot off of Felipe Nasser. Some good fighting between the Saubers and the Force Indias. I like that. The Lotuses and the Verstappen was excellent stuff. Hülkenberg was doing a great job. He was fighting with Bottas. And, of course, Felipe Massa, yeah, with that failed pit stop, moves into third. He's going to get that podium. Too bad for Vettel, but once again, spaghetti culture. What can you do? But still, I was happy for Felipe Massa to get that P3 because, you know, he's suffering. And we'll talk about Gerhard Berger and his questions for the three drivers at the end of this show because that was bizarro land.
And, you know, I was very happy for Massa also because it was very well-deserved podium, you know, after a clean, straight fight. And Vettel should have taken that spot from him.
He should have, and Vettel did give it his best shot. The last 10 laps, Vettel, I mean, he tried, but the Mercedes power in the straight line, there's just no way the Ferrari can keep up with him. Maldonado, lap 64, is still all over Verstappen, dealing with Verstappen, and this is where he runs wide and only narrowly saves his car from spinning out as he increases the pressure on the teen sensation. Interesting. Back in 10th place, Ricciardo has just fought his way back into 10th after dealing with Felipe Nasr. Lap 67, Nico Rosberg is complaining about bad vibrations, but the team told him, just don't worry. We got the Beach Boys queued up. As soon as you come in, you'll get some good vibrations.
Oh, wow. Very impressive. One of my favorites.
I know. Lap 71, Maldonado somehow manages to get past Verstappen to go sixth. He flew up Verstappen down the outside, and that so nearly ended the disaster. But Pastor held on, and Verstappen ran wide. Both cars are still running. It was outstanding. And then Verstappen really caught up back with Maldonado, but couldn't make it stick. For me, that was the peak right there, because I knew Vettel couldn't catch Massa. So I was watching this Maldonado Verstappen, and we know Verstappen he's not a crashado. He can crash, though. And crashado, with crash and crashado, we could have had a major, major crashado. But obviously, both of those guys showed a lot of discipline, because Maldonado didn't crash. Verstappen didn't crash. The biggest bummer was both Fernando and Kimi Raikkonen out on the first lap. That took all the air and oxygen out of the room for me, Nasser.
Really?
Yeah, you know how I'm very sensitive.
I can sense that.
Yes. So, what did you think about the Gerhard Berger interview?
Gerhard Berger is Gerhard Berger. He's a fun-loving guy. So, but it's good to have these drivers come and ask questions. Everybody's going to be different. But I'm not interested in a professional person coming and talking, because then they have the same corporate talk, you know.
So, anyway, yes, I thought Gerhard Berger's questions were interesting, calling Felipe Massa an old man, which is true, and calling Nico Lewis. Interesting. Lewis wasn't happy about it, and we'll see if this all lands in the courts eventually. Okay. But there you have it, Nas. Another outstanding race, and now we go to Silverstone.
Yes. Lewis Hamilton's, you can imagine how many Union Jacks there will be at that place. Okay, now we come to the Morrison and McLaren Honda connection that we talked about at the start of the, this chit-chat.
That's what I want to hear about, Nasser.
Yes, sir. This is my 2 rupees or 500 yen on this situation. Here we go. Since the season started in March, the McLaren Honda has been gaining speed while going south on Highway 101. I am beginning to wonder if Mike Gascoigne is working in the dark for this partnership. I think even HRT was able to go more or less with Karun Chandok at the wheel. Their back-to-the-future superstar, Senor Nando, has retired from 5 of the 7 races so far this season. This is a very sad situation involving two names that brought Ayrton Senna 3 championships. I think they deserve a CD from Jim Morrison featuring "Been Down So Long and It Looks Like Up to Me." And that was Zinger of the Day.
I feel bad for Fernando, thinking that he was going to be the Ayrton Senna of the 21st century with McLaren Honda, and I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, there is with all the new talent coming, and who knows who'll be competitive in 2007. I mean, it's very possible and shocking that Nando may end his career as a 2-time world champion.
Let me put it this way: Fernando is going to end his career as a 2-time world champion.
Yeah, that is like that is as mind-boggling as a talent like Montoya not surviving in Formula One. And Kimi Raikkonen, who almost anybody I talk to, that even Matt Bishop, who I guess knows more about motor racing than most people who are alive and dead, his comment was he is one of the fastest driver who ever stepped into the cockpit of a racing car of all time. And
yeah.
For that talent to get squandered like this, it's very... Racing fans, this I'm borrowing a phrase from one of my friends. This he said about not being able to watch Senna-Schumacher rivalry for many years. His comment was, racing fans have been deprived. And I feel the same way about Montoya's talent, because he is very good and very quick, and also about Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah, the fans are the ones who suffer, Nasser.
Always.
Yeah, And no, I'm very pissed off about it, to be honest with you. It's sad that a driver of his caliber and his career is going to end like this. It's just shameful.
Yeah. And really, you know, not to grind on this thing or cry over a spilled mango lassi, I still think, you know, had he not pulled out that stunt in Hungary, he would have been world champion in 2007. And if you bring a championship to Ron, you know, you are his love child number one. So he could have picked up two championships at McLaren right after picking up two at Renault. Think about it.
I know.
Yeah.
We're all thinking about it in the break room.
Yeah, and now this forces me to borrow a phrase from Kimi Raikkonen. It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's very, very sad. Now, I see you have a little bit of history on the Austrian Grand Prix, Nasser.
Yes, but before I get, I'd like to make a comment that on what Daniel Kvyat, he had a tough race. He had to come in for a new front ring at the end of the opening lap, courtesy of singing Let's Get Physical with Sergio Perez. And he described his race, because there was some more damage to the car, he described being in the race as driving in hell. So, poor guy.
Yeah.
He's a good kid, though. He's a good kid. I like him.
Me too. Yeah, driving in hell. That's a pretty sad state of affairs, Nasser.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Okay, let's look at the brief history of Austrian Grand Prix. The first Austrian Grand Prix, when I say first, we're talking championship, because, you know, in the old days, Clark, if a country wanted a Formula One race, they would have to hold a Formula One race, non-championship race, to prove they can do it. And this was done in Brazil also. So the first championship Austrian Grand Prix was held in 1964 at the Selkirk Airfield Circuit. It turned out to be one-hit wonder for Italian Lorenzo Bandini in his Ferrari. Richie Ginther from Southern California was second in a BRN. The race disappeared from the F1 calendar following the inaugural Grand Prix and returned to the championship calendar in 1970 at the newly built and very fast Oosterreifing, also in the Selkirk area. This track and Silverstone, before all these chicanes came, they were the two fastest tracks, and of course Monza too, three chicane days. Jackie Ickx Ferrari took the victory over his Swiss teammate Claire Regazzoni, and that would be 1970. German driver Rolf Stommelin was third in a Brabham. Stommelin was killed during a sports car race at Riverside near LA in 1983. This is very interesting. From 1975 to 1977, three one-hit wonders were recorded. Italian Vittorio Brambilla scored his only Grand Prix win in 1975 driving a March. After taking the checkered flag in heavy rain, he threw both arms in the air and crashed. And this can be seen on YouTube also, which was kind of amusing. If you look at the result of this race, you will see the name of Brett Lunger in 13th place. He was one of the guys who pulled Lauda from his burning Ferrari in 1976 at the Nürburgring, along with Arturo Merzario. And Lunger comes from the DuPont family of Delaware. 1976 saw the one and only F1 victory for Roger Penske. His winning driver was John Watson. Miss Lella Lombardi, one of the few ladies to race in Formula One, was 12th in a Brabham Ford. There was more American connection the following year. Aussie mate Alan Jones gave American Shadow team owner Don Nichols his first and last taste of victory in Grand Prix racing. Don is often referred to as a mysterious man. He spent many years in Japan, and many believe he was a CIA operative. These days, he is hanging out in Northern California in the Santa Cruz area. And Clark, the small world we live in, one of our listeners once bought a car from him, and, you know, we met him at Sears Point some years ago. Now, in this race, Emilio Deviota, father of deceased Maria Deviota, was 17 in a McLaren Ford. The great Swedish driver, Ronnie Peterson, he was my very first favorite driver when I started following in 1973. He took his final F1 victory here in 1978, and of course, same year at Monza, a few weeks later, or a month and a half later, he was killed. In 1982, this is a YouTube special, highly recommended. There was a tremendous run to the checkered flag between race leader Italian Elio De Angelis and Keke Rosberg. This was the first Grand Prix win for the Roman driver, who later lost his life at Paul Ricard during testing. Last Lotus win in the life of team owner Colin Chapman. Your homeboy, Adam Prost, is the most successful driver in terms of wins in the Austrian Grand Prix. Three, one with Renault and two with McLaren. And McLaren has the most wins among the team, six. the track was, you know, this track was basically abandoned, and there was even talk of like demolishing the whole facility, but it was purchased by a Red Bull owner, and after spending over $100 million of his own money, he has now given wings to the Red Bull Ring. And I really like this track, and apparently it's like many tours. There are no hotels close by, but it's one of my high agendas to go to this track, either for a Formula One race or any event, but just to pay my, you know, pilgrimage to the fantastic facility.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Carlos Sainz, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And before going around the world, we're going to stay in Austria for a little while and talk about our favorite, Hapidos. The winning streak continues for the new Belgian Jackie X, Mr. Stoffel Vandoorne. After starting from his fourth pole of the season, of course for the feature race, victory on Saturday was his fifth successive win. This cat has not been beaten either to the race win or pole position since the final round of last year in Abu Dhabi. Now, this is one guy who could have gone to Ferrari, but he is under contract to McLaren. Basically, Vandoorne is Van Gone for the competition this year. Sergei Sirotkin from Russia, with love but not much money, as Miss Monisha Kaltenborn at Sauber found out, was second, and 2014 GP3 champion Alex Lynn from UK was third, and he is under the watch of Williams team. Sprint race on Sunday was won by Rio Haryanto of Indonesia. He's been in this series for like 4 or 5 years now. Vandoorne was second and extends his championship lead 155-79 for Alexander Rossi. Now, we talked about Rafael Marcello earlier in the program. Here is the deal. Ferrari protege Rafael Marcello is 8th in the championship with only 24 points. This is his second year in the series, just like Stoffel Vandoorne. He needs to win some races soon, because if you are not hot, Signor Arrivabene will buy you one-way ticket to the Blues on board the European Ice Express train. Have you ever taken that train, sir?
Yes, I have, many times.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yep.
Okay, now we go from Hapidos to Hapitres, GP3. Amazing, we are at the tail end of June, and this was only round two of GP3 series. Winning from pole position on Saturday was Italian Luca Giotto. Second was Paisan Antonio Fuoco. I believe he's also in the Ferrari development program. Francais and F3 champion from last year, Esteban Ocon, was third. On Sunday, race two was won by Colombian Oscar Tunio, his first of the series. So congratulations to all the winners from F1 to GP2 to GP3, which brings us to European Formula 3 from Spa-Francorchamps. I don't know if you've been watching or reading about this. There's a lot of mayhem going on in this series, and somebody's going to bite the bullet pretty soon. Winner in race 1 was Charles Leclerc, young man under management of Nicolas Todd. American Santino Ferrucci set the fastest lap, which is good. Happy Chappie from UK, Jake Dennis, was the winner from race 2, but Canadian rising star Lance Stroll, his stroll came to a stop. Just like at Monza, he was involved in an accident here, for which he has been blamed because of cutting across the track and collecting two other drivers. And at Spa, you know, same boneheaded move. The FIA is now looking at not allowing drivers graduate to F3 on the Max Verstappen program, especially, you know, coming out of karting, going straight into F3. And there are a lot of cars in the series these days, but some of these kids need to cool down, man. I mean, if you're racing full blast on a straight and you're going to cut across not one but two people, you're asking for trouble.
Yes, and it's sad. I don't know what's happened. And this is a recent occurrence. Just a couple years ago, there was great racing in F3. I think there's still great racing in F3. I just think that, I don't know. The kids are moving up too quickly. Maybe a couple more years in karting. Maybe they should go to Formula Renault 2.0. You know, some of the lower formulas before you get into faster vehicles. Yeah. But the FIA is looking into this.
Yeah, and you know, these F3 races, just like World Series by Renault, they are on YouTube in their entirety, and you know, the quality of the broadcast and the picture is very good. So if anybody interested, please check it out. A third and final race of the weekend saw another win for Jake. That is Jake Dennis. Charles Leclerc was second. In the championship standings, Leclerc is at the top with 217.5 points. Dennis is second with 189, and 1 point behind him is Felix Rosenquist from Sweden with 188 points. Now we come to World Touring Car from Slovakia Ring. Big weekend for Citroën team as their drivers occupied the podium for both races of the weekend. Ivan Muller was the winner in race one. Jose Maria Lopez was second, and Sebastian Loeb, your favorite, was third. The same drivers appeared on the podium in reverse in race two. Loeb was the winner. Argentine Lopez, a.k.a. Pechito, was again second, and Muller was third. Muller and Loeb both come from the Alsace region of Francia, and so does Tom Dillman, who is racing in World Series by Renault. I have a question for you, sir. Mm-hmm. Alsace is very close, next to the German border, right?
Correct.
Do the people there are bilingual, Francais and German, on the French side of the border?
Only the ones that know about the Maginot Line.
They are bilingual.
Correct. The ones that don't know about the Maginot Line, they know nothing about nothing.
Okay, so they must be NASCAR fans in France then.
Exactly.
Thank you. Okay, Australian V8 might. From Hidden Valley Raceway, winner in race one was Chaz Mostert in a Ford Falcon. Craig Lowndes took victory in the second race in a Holden Commodore, a mighty fine General Motors product in Land Down Under. And you know, recently it was announced, or maybe it was last year, that both Ford and GM are shutting down their manufacturing operations in Australia, which is not good because these are cool cars. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Ford driver David Rayner. Shall we look ahead to the action this weekend, sir?
Yes, there's always a lot of action this weekend.
Yeah, I'm very happy because I'm enjoying a lot of motorsports here. Indy cars, they will be racing at Fontana, not too far from L.A. German tin tops and European Formula 3 on the streets of Nuremberg at the Nürburgring. World Touring cars, they will be at Le Castellet, the Paul Ricca circuit, not too far from the southern coastal French town of Bordeaux. Watkins Glen, once a proud and popular venue for Formula 1, will be hosting United Sports Car Series, the new name for what used to be American Le Mans and Grand Am Series. The Glen is now owned by the French family, Bill France. You know what I mean?
I do.
Innes Ireland, Jochen Rindt, and Emerson Fittipaldi are three drivers who scored their first Grand Prix victory at this mighty fine track located in the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York. Talking of the France family, their tin top series, Le NASCAR, will be at Sonoma Raceway in Northern California. Of course, track was previously known as Infineon Raceway and then Sears Point. At one point, it was also known as Golden Gate Raceway. But I think Sears Point is the best name for this series.
Really? I was thinking of F1 Weekly Raceway. That got a nice ring to it.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. And I have a picture of you, billboard of you on the way to the track.
It's perfect.
There you go. Okay, finally, Formula E in London Town at Battersea Park Street Circuit. We are expecting a high-voltage F1 Weekly representation from our familiar members across the pond. Photographs and race reports will be greatly appreciated, and behind the scenes, we are working to make that happen. This is final round, and there will be two races this weekend. There are three drivers who have more than 100 points. Leading the pack is race winner from the last round in Red Square, Nelsinho Piquet with 128 points. Second is fellow Brazilian Lucas Di Grassi with 111. Sebastian Buemi. Remember Sebastian Buemi?
I remember Sebastian Buemi. Isn't he a disc jockey now?
Yeah, most of them are these days.
Yeah.
He is third in the points in the championship with 105 points. And fourth is your hero, Nicolas Prost, with 82 points. Other names from Formula One's short memory bank include, listen to this, Jarno Trulli, Nick Heidfeld, Karun Chandok, Bruno Senna, Jean-Eric Vaughan, and finally, as John Facenda of NFL Films would say, terror on the track, Takon Yamamoto. With that, arigato for listening, and sayonara till we meet again on the digital airwaves.
Thanks, Nas. Only one name is missing from that list of Formula E drivers, and I really hope he comes out of the closet.
And who is that?
Hans Harald Frentzen.
Heinz Harald Frentzen, yeah.
Heinz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was recently in the news that he has gone back to taking care of his family business, which is running a mortuary house.
That's sad.
Yeah. No, that's his dad's business. I think his dad has passed away. And he said that, you know, that even when he was a Formula One driver, he would every now and then help the dad and drive the hearse. So, you know, I guess he's a pretty good guy for taking care of family business.
So, in other words, they're famous for what? The fastest burial in town?
Something like that, Mark.
Wow. Maybe they'll do a promo spot on F1 Weekly.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Nasser, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And you know what that means, don't you?
A big check coming my way.
Well, that's a weekly check, Nasser. And, of course, here at F1 Weekly, to save paper, we have automatic deposit.
Oh, yeah, sure. Electronic fund transfer, as they call it.
Exactly. Now is 50 words from the F1 Weekly Familia. Kei Sin. No, some new guy, Nasser, says, Kimi and Nando go to the DNF chapel thankful for their lucky day. Leon Bray. It took a faulty wheel gun to mix up the usual podium. McLaren performance was so bad that they tried to piggyback on a Ferrari. The young guys showed that you didn't need the racing line to pass, and Pastor has improved, saving a couple of near misses. Great to see Williams and Felipe Baby on the podium. Yay! What a shame, all over on the first lap. The only excitement being the rumor that Red Bull is going to buy FOM. Really? Please, no. Neon Zapper says, a sloppy start with Kimi's Kerblamo caused a caution. There were pitiful performances by several pit crews which parlayed into lost positions. After Ferrari's fumble, Vettel couldn't catch up to Felipe. Then after the race, Gerhard Berger mustered up some cage-rattling with each of the winners. On a serious note, we're all glad to see Kimi and Fernando walk away together, hand in hand, loving each other, cuddling each other. I added a little bit on that one. Dr. Mark F. As exciting a race as you could expect in 2015 from a track with only three corners, yet again, the best dicing came from the midfield runners and the newbies. But the pinnacle of the afternoon was Martin Brundle's gridwalk interview of Gerhard Berger and Jean Zélessy. The three together demonstrating the preservative magic of red wine and the value of a misspent middle age. On to Silverstone. And there you have it, Nass. Another outstanding job from the Familia. Nasser, what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, I hope we have a great race in Britain. British Grand Prix at Silverstone. Really looking forward to it. And in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy the Dutch Grand Prix from Assen, the MotoGP. There's a lot of racing going on, so it's going to be a great weekend. And I hope everybody has a great weekend, too.
Absolutely. Where is Greg Biffle and Lunascar?
They are, you know, in the top 25.
The top 25?
Yeah. Wow. Well, they have five cars, so that's not a bad deal.
No, that's where the big money's at, actually, is right in the mid-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good for him. Happy for his family and wife. So yes. There you have it, Nass. Another outstanding job. Quickly, any predicaments? Well, there's a lot of predicaments, but any predictions?
For Silverstone?
Yeah, why not start early?
No, I think, Clark, it's we still haven't seen a real competitor or a challenger to the pace of Mercedes. You know, they were testing, doing these final in-season tests at Red Bull Ring after the race, and the Mercedes is just way too quick for everybody right now.
Okay, well, I'm going to go out on a limb, Nasser. Listen to this. I've got a theory. McLaren have been sandbagging and faking this whole thing. They've got the fastest car, the most dependable car, the most reliable car, and it's going to come out of the box next weekend at Silverstone with Fernando on the top step of the podium. Yay!
Wow. I hope you're right, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Trust me, Mercedes will be caught cheating and will be stripped of all their points by the end of the season.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, there you have it. I want to thank all the listeners. Good night.
Bye-bye.